The subject that Brother Darcy Anders has chosen for us this hour is called The Law, Liberty, and Reverence. Brother Darcy.
Good afternoon, brethren. We rejoice to be with you this afternoon in convention. We appreciated the full day between yesterday and today, and look forward to the remainder of the convention. And as already been expressed, the Salem class did want their special love and greetings sent to all of you here, as well as my folks, Brother Jerry and Sister Dolores Andrus. We thought maybe that after that wonderful consideration this morning, that we would look at that narrow way. And in particular, the law that governs us in that way, the liberty we have in that, and how reverence relates to it. Those of us who have made a consecration have all complied with the apostles' entreaty in Romans 12:1-3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. We have been begotten to a new nature with a new mind and are cultivating reverence under a new law, new to us. In the full liberty of Jesus Christ, there is much work to do to put off the old man and to put on the new. We must be training our affections heavenward. Reprint 5905. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Colossians 3:2. These affections are proper. They are good, but they need guiding, training. If we do not have these affections, we could not love God. By natural tendency, would be inclined to go wrong. Therefore, we need to give careful heed to the admonition to set our affections on things above. Let each of us look around carefully and sweep before our own doors. We are not here simply to have a good time. We are here for the purpose of learning certain principles, certain lessons that the Lord would have us to learn, so that we may more than ever shape our lives in harmony therewith. That we may be able to see all things of the life from God's viewpoint. God's word does not go into every detail of life, but it lays down important principles that touch our lives at every point. And it is for us to learn more and more how to apply these principles, to see what we need to retain, what we need to cultivate. The Lord wishes us to be intelligent children. Those who come into harmony with the mind of the Lord have that wisdom from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. James 3:17. Each of us should scrutinize the affairs of his own life and observe whether, to any extent, he is setting his affections upon earthly objects or things, even upon things which are in themselves right and proper. God must be first. Everything else must be subservient. To be a child of God does not mean that we shall be free from these earth-born tendencies. The apostle points out that there is a continual fight of the new creature against the old, in Galatians 5:17. The heavenly impulses, tendencies, and aspirations need to be fought for they must be carefully and continually cultivated. Not only must our affections be torn from the earthly props to which they naturally cling, but they must be trained heavenward and be held there by cords of love and devotion to God. Do not let them gravitate again earthward. There are many things on this earth that are attractive, that are beautiful, but we need not set our hearts upon them. We may see them and admire them, but we must continue to strive in this narrow way. And as has been pointed out, that is an upward course toward the heavens. This matter of setting the affections on heavenly things is something that must be repeated, persevered in, for the affections are inclined to slip off. We have nothing but our old brains with which to do our thinking. And these brains have tendencies toward the flesh. Therefore, the necessity arises for a repeated and continual setting of these affections on things above, until they become securely fastened and fixed there. This preparation means a continuous work as long as we sojourn in this body. God's great program has been so arranged as to demonstrate who will be fit to constitute the bride of His Son. This decision, in our case, will depend on our diligence in making ourselves ready. If we attend to this most important work properly, we shall have no time to fritter away. We shall have little time for anything else but this one thing. But the proper making of ourselves ready means the helping of others as we have opportunity, especially assisting the household of faith, our brethren, who are walking in this same heavenly way with us. We are to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is an important part of our preparation. We are to build up ourselves and also the brethren in this, our most holy faith, Jude 20. But how do we do this? How do we know what to do? What is this law, this liberty, this reverence? In faith, we must search the Word of God in order to understand these things. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He shall guide you into all truth. John 16:13. Our Lord indicated that the channel through which this power of God, the Spirit of the truth, would come to His people, saying, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." John 6:63. That is, His words express the mind, the will of God. Hence, we have continually set before us as necessary to our victory the study of the Word of truth. We hear the Apostle Paul commending the Bereans' noble conduct in that they search the Scriptures daily, Acts 17:11. We hear him again saying that we ought to take the more earnest heed to our words, to the words which we have heard, Hebrews 2:1. And we have his exhortation to Timothy, which assures us that the Word of God is profitable, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3:17. We hear the Apostle Peter also urging that we have a more sure word of prophecy to which we do well to take heed, 2 Peter 1:19. The promise of being filled with the Spirit or mind of God is not to those who merely possess the Word, nor to those who merely read the Word, but it is to those who search it earnestly, seeking to understand it, and who, understanding it, are willing and anxious to obey it. If we would be filled with the Spirit of God, we must drink deeply of the fountain of truth, His Word. And since our earthen vessels are imperfect and leaky, it is easy to let spiritual things slip. In which case, the spirit of the world, which continuously surrounds us, quickly rushes in to fill the void. Indeed, there is a constant pressure of the spirit of the world upon the Lord's people, tending to displace the new spirit, the new mind, the spirit or disposition of holiness. Therefore, it behooves all of the Lord's faithful new creatures to live very closely to the fountain of truth, the Lord, and very close to His Word, lest the Spirit of God be quenched and we be filled instead with the spirit of the world. Volume 5, pages 204 and 205. And we know that as part of this, staying close to the Word of the Lord is using that which the Lord has provided through that wise and faithful servant. These help us in this work. From the Scriptures, then, what is the law that we are under? Matthew 22:36-40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the law we are under is the law of love, a supreme love of our God, a complete love for others. And how great should this love be? 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we love, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what does this law do for us? Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If we are under this law of love, how is it true then that we have liberty? And how should we use it? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have this liberty, this freedom from the Lord. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So there is a danger that we can lose this liberty. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So there is a danger that we can misuse this liberty. And just how might we misuse it? 1 Corinthians 8:9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. 1 Peter 2:16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not what they do. Fool here in Strong's is number 3684, Kessel, and it is defined as stupid or silly. Now, Webster's defines this noun as one, a person deficient in judgment, one who acts absurdly or stupidly, a simpleton or dolt. Two, one who is made to appear foolish, a dupe, a toy, as a fool of circumstances. And three, one destitute of reason, or of the common powers of understanding. An idiot. The verb form of this word is defined as one, to become a fool or imbecile. Two, A, to play the fool. To trifle, to spend time in idle sport or mirth. And B, to tamper, to dally or waste time. And three, to act as a jester or a buffoon. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. These words are addressed to and about the church, the Lord's people. Reprint 2459, 1362, and 1319. Let us take note and be on guard that none of this describes us or our actions. How should we use this liberty as servants of God? James 2:12. So speak ye, and so do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. 1 Corinthians 10:33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be served, or saved, excuse me. From reprint 4478, we quote, if every Christian could apply these words of the apostle truthfully to himself, the effect would be magical, suddenly energizing. Should all of those now enjoying present truth resolve to live henceforth, even in the spiritual affairs of life, up to the standard of the Lord, what an influence it would bring, what an influence would extend from their words, their thoughts, and their deeds. Then the church would become indeed a shining light in the world. It is for us to take our stand with the Lord and wait patiently for Him to bring to us more than compensating blessings in His own good time and way. He who does not learn to sacrifice his own will, his own preferences in the interest of others, will never, we fear, have the preparation of character which the Lord demands of those who shall be joint heirs with Himself in the kingdom. End of quote. I'd like to read that last sentence again. He who does not learn to sacrifice his own will, his own preferences in the interest of others, will never, we fear, have that preparation of character which the Lord demands of those who shall be joint heirs with Himself in the kingdom. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If we are thinking on these things, then we will be doing and speaking on these things. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 32. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and truth and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 7. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servants? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord doth he regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live, we will live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I liveth, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall before his brother. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen on me. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even your Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. First Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. And Colossians 2:5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Why follow these limitations to our liberty? Matthew 25, verses 40 and 45. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye did it not unto me. And Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Reverence. What is it? How do we cultivate it? And how does it benefit us? Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is all-powerful and should be feared in that he will destroy all that is evil and all of its followers. But we should not fear in the sense of needing to seek protection from him, as did Adam and Eve after the fall in the garden. We should have the appreciation and respect that is due the all-powerful Creator and God of the universe. And we should recognize and love his character. As has already been pointed out from the platform, in the Scriptures, fear, in association with our Lord, should be thought of in the sense of reverence. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let us consider some Scriptures that give an idea of what this reverence is. Psalms 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Reverence of the Lord brings us this wisdom and this humility. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And Leviticus 19:30. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. How does this apply to us? And what is the sanctuary of God now? 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We reverence the sanctuary then by reverencing, being respectful to, and upbuilding our brethren. Deuteronomy 8:6. Thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. Psalms 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalms 89:7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. If we truly reverence God, we will be opposed to or hate that which he opposes or hates. Proverbs 14:2. He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Following righteousness and the reverence of the Lord go hand in hand. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. It should cause us to depart from evil and work in us or perfect in us true holiness. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. We should do all that the Lord has given us to do to the best of our ability in reverence toward him. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. in 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. And ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." In this fear or this reverence, we should be holy, sanctified, set apart. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding." And Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Reverence brings to us knowledge, which is followed by wisdom. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And 34:9. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. If we have reverence, we gain the Lord's protection, and he fully provides for and sustains us. Think of the scripture text that says that our bread and water is sure. How many of us survive on bread and water? Psalms 34:11. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We should be attempting to help each other develop this reverence or respect for Jehovah our God. And Psalms 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And Psalms 103:11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And Luke 1:50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So it brings to us the Lord's mercy. Stop and consider where we would be without his mercy. Psalms 112:1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And Psalms 128:1. A song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. And verse 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. It provides us blessings, life, satisfaction, and protection. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Even the reverence of his word brings us blessings and rewards. Isaiah 11:2-3. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Jesus is our example, even in the reverence that we should have for our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. There is a necessity for diligence and effort on our part. Let us watch and be sober, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Let us watch in the sense of taking careful notice of all the directions which the Lord our God has given us respecting what would not be acceptable service to Him. Let us watch ourselves, striving to walk as nearly as possible in the footsteps of the great high priest, who was right and acceptable to the Father in every particular. Let us be sober, not only not literally intoxicated with ardent spirits, but let us not be intoxicated with the spirit of the world, or the spirit of Babylon, of churchianity. Let us have the spirit of Christ, the spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of meekness, the spirit of gentleness, the spirit of love for God, for our fellows and for all men, seeking as we have opportunity to do them good. Let us be sober in the sense that we will not be frivolous, that while happy, joyous in the Lord, free from the anxious cares that are upon many others through misapprehension of the Father's character and plan, we may nevertheless be sober in the sense of being earnest and appreciative of present opportunities and privileges in connection with the Lord's service, not thoughtlessly negligent, letting opportunities and privileges slip through our hands to be afterwards regretted. Reprint 3054. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: with anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. From reprint 2479. Comparatively few realize to what extent we have the forming of our own characters, to what extent our minds, our affections, are gardens in which we may plant either the thorns and thistles of sin, or plant merely moral and practical qualities corresponding to the useful vegetables, or plant those seeds which will produce the fragrant and beautiful flowers which more particularly would represent the heavenly spiritual graces. That which a man soweth, he shall also reap in kind, whether he soweth to the flesh or to the spirit. Whosoever therefore seeks for the heavenly things, joint heirship in the kingdom, and so forth, must plant or set out in his mind, in his affections, those qualities and graces which the Lord marks out as essential to the development of characters, such as will be meet for the saints, the inheritance of the saints in light. Thus the Lord throws upon all those whom he calls to this high calling, this heavenly calling, and who accept the call and covenant thereunder, the responsibility for their success or failure in attaining it. Through his word, he tells them of their own natural weaknesses and imperfections, and shows them how he has provided a full offset or counterbalance for those imperfections in the merit and sacrifice of the Redeemer. He shows them also what are the fruits and graces of the Spirit which they must possess, in heart at least, if they would be joint heirs with Christ. He shows them also in the Redeemer's life, as well as his teachings, the copy which all must follow who would reach the same glorious station and be his joint heirs. There is a natural attraction to the earthly things for all mankind, even though the earthly things during the reign of evil be blemished, and in many respects distasteful to those who have learned to love righteousness and hate iniquity. There is nevertheless an attraction to the marred and blemished earthly things. Like weeds, earthly affections and desires spring spontaneously from the seeds which come we know not whither. The Christian, therefore, who would keep his heart in the love of God must not only keep planting or setting his affections on heavenly things, but he must keep rooting out of the weeds, keep rooting out the weeds of earthly desires and affections. It is not sufficient that we acknowledge sin in its various forms to be evil, and that we will strive against it because it is under the Lord's ban. In addition to this, we are to root out of our hearts every longing, every desire for everything not thoroughly approved of the Lord. Oh, what a cleansing this would mean in the hearts and lives, and especially in the thoughts of the many who have named the name of Christ. Many who fail to note this point, who fail to follow the apostles' admonition, find themselves continually beset by temptations, because while outwardly avoiding gross immoralities, they secretly harbor sympathies for things condemned, desiring that they might have them, if only they were not forbidden. Under such conditions, comparatively little progress can be made in the higher life. The apostle would set before us the proper course to be pursued if we would win the great prize, namely, the high standard of bringing the very thoughts, wishes, desires of our hearts into full conformity to the perfect will of God. And only those who do so are properly making progress, running the race set before us in the gospel. Every Christian should see to it that henceforth every word which proceeds out of his mouth shall be such as will minister grace to the hearers. Colossians 4:6, Philippians 1:27, James 2:12, and 1 Peter 2:9. Such words as will do only good and be edifying. Finally, how much need there is not only of having good intentions truthfully one to another, without deception and without hypocrisy, but it requires that a heart be very pure and very full of love if it would be very truthful. Otherwise, it would lead into trouble continually. If the unloving, generous, unkind hearts, full of evil, surmising, malice, hatred, and strife, were to express themselves frankly, it would add immensely to the trouble in the world. The apostle therefore urges first the purifying of the heart, and then general candor. These corrections of life are urged as a reasonable and proper outcome of our transformation from the Adamic and fallen nature, reckoned dead, to the new nature of Christ, of whose body we have become reckonedly members, controlled and renewed in knowledge through our new head, Christ Jesus. But the apostle, as the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit, is a thorough instructor. Not only does he tell us what disgraces to put off and what graces to put on, but viewing the Lord's body arrayed in these glorious qualities of heart, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, endurance, forbearance, and forgiveness, he adds, and above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love is thus pictured as the girdle which binds the and holds in place the folds of the robe of Christ's righteousness with its various graces. In other words, the apostle would have us to see that forbearance, meekness, patience, etc., must not be matters of courtesy merely, or matters of policy merely, but however much they might partake of these qualities at the beginning, the wearers will not be perfected in heart, not be fit for the kingdom, until they have reached the place where these various graces of their will or intentions are bound to them by the cords of love. Love for the Lord, love for righteousness, love for the brethren, and sympathetic love for the whole groaning creation. Love is indeed the bond of perfectness, the very spirit of the Lord. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Not until God's people have reached some measure of what the apostle has here outlined can they know experimentally the blessedness of having divine peace rule in their hearts and lives, controlling their relationship with every member of the body of Christ under the bond of love, and producing more and more in them the spirit of gratitude and thankfulness to God for the mercies and blessings enjoyed. And such gratitude will find its natural and proper outlet in endeavors to serve the Lord, endeavors which the Lord will be sure to accept from such hearts, reckoned holy and acceptable through Christ Jesus, the head and forerunner. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. From the December 12th manna. It behooves the Lord's consecrated people to carefully strain out the impurities and see that they do not enter into our hearts, our thoughts, realizing that with them in, the result will be to work our defilement to a greater or lesser degree. Whoever maintains purity of thought will have comparatively little effort in maintaining purity of action. Whether the impurity come from one direction or another, from the world, the flesh, or the devil, its attack must first of all be upon the mind. And if repelled there, the victory is won. If not repelled, we cannot know what the consequences might be. As the Apostle James declares, lust, selfishness, desire of any kind, when it has conceived in the mind, bringeth forth sin, and develops sinful words or deeds. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Based on the law of love we are under, let us go forth to exercise our liberty, which is only really limited by love. to do that which would benefit not only ourselves, but all with whom we come in contact. And let us so reverence our Father and that to which he, for which he stands, that all our words and actions will be manifest and will manifest that reverence and love. Knowing that by the Lord's grace, this love and all its characteristics, including reverence, will be who we are and not just what we do. May the Lord add his blessing.